Blog Talk Radio.
We're just going to stick to what is in the scriptures. getting a lot of questions from people on certain things, and if I can answer from the scriptures, then I answer from the scriptures, and if it's not in the scriptures, then I look into it and find that, you know, this is really a tradition of men. So there are a lot of things that, you know, I've seen people do to celebrate Passover and different feast days in a different way, in different ways. And this particular service, you know, the Most High is very, you know, particular about what he said to do. And so that's what we're going to stick to on this Passover. I'm going to do a lot of reading. Sister Denise, Sister Mary, and hold on a minute. Let me see if Sister Clara, because I asked her to read something. Second. See if she's logged on or called into a different line. If not, I will. Okay. She hasn't called in. So what I will do is when Sister Lorraine logs on, then we will do the reading. I'll just tell you what to read, and then I will read for those who are missing that I had assigned to. Okay. So we're going to proceed that way. And we're going to go ahead, and we're going to do our statement of faith, and then we are going to get into this Sabbath, this particular Sabbath, Passover service, because the Sabbath just means, you know, a holiday, day of rest, a holy day, okay? And so we are going to go ahead and proceed and get into this. So we're going to do our statement of faith, and so I'm going to open up the lines. This is participatory. We want people to participate in this service, and you know, this is a solemn assembly. The Most High said that the first day and the seventh day of the Feast of Unleavened are solemn feast days. And that's the reason that we don't use wine in the celebration of these. And even when looking at the Sabbath, not the Sabbath, but looking at Passover and looking at what Messiah did, nowhere in the scripture does it say that he took a cup of wine. He just says the fruit of the vine. And then people start assuming that was wine. But the fruit of the vine, when you squeeze grapes, you get grape juice. You know, they have to ferment in order to, you have to ferment in order to become wine. And if you leave grapes on the vine in the sun, they don't turn in, you know, they don't ferment. They turn into raisins, which are not fermented. So, you know, I have said that when it comes to the observance of what we call communion or the Last Supper, that we would use grape juice and not wine, because it doesn't say in there to use wine. And when you look at the Passover, the Most High didn't tell Israel to drink wine with the Passover. That is something that men added later. Even with the, the chemos, I have to look and see what that Hebrew word is, where, you know, you have the sweet and you have the bitter. That's not in that meal. That is a tradition of men. So we're going to stay away from that on this Passover and on this observance. We're just going to do what's in the scriptures. Now, what you're prepared at your house, that's for you, and you do what you will, but as far as what I'm going to speak about on this evening, we're not going to be drinking like four cups of wine or four cups of grape juice like we did last year. We are going to stick to the scriptures because, again, that is a tradition of men. The Most High never said to do that. So, you know, I pray nobody gets upset. That we're not going to follow the tradition of men on this Passover, but we're going to just do what's in the scriptures and stick to that. All right, with that being said, our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. And of the whole matter, it is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just glorify you on today, and especially on today, Father, for this day that you allowed your Son, Father, to come down and to die on the cross for us, Father, and to shed his blood for our sin, Father, that we might be reconciled unto you. And, Father, we just give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise, and all the thanks. Hallelujah, for you didn't have to do it. Hallelujah. You could have left us in our state, and you could have just started over. But you know what? I don't want none of y'all. I just want to start over and wipe the world clean again. But you didn't, y'all. And we just thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Glory to your name, O Father. Glory to your name. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. All right. Let us start this thing off. Let me pull up my document because I just reworked this today. And as I said, I wanted to simplify this for this year. We're not going to be following the traditions of men. So let us go to the book of Exodus. Let's not do that. Let's go ahead and let's sound the shofar. And then in the service, we will do the blowing of the shofar again. But this is the Sabbath, and as we're commanded, the sounding of the shofar. And then I will blow the shofar in the ceremony that we're going to have. And so y'all don't make fun of me or nothing like that. Thank you. All right. Amen. 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 All right. As I said, we're going to do a simplified service on this Passover for a simple reason. We're only going to do what we see in the scriptures. I'm not going to follow after the tradition of men. If it's not spoken of in the scriptures, if the Most High didn't say do it, then this Passover, we're just doing what we see in the scriptures. So let's go to the book of Exodus, chapter 13. The book of Exodus, chapter 13. And we are going to start in verse 1, and we're going to read down through verse 10. And as I said before, I have selected some verses for each of you to read. So when I call your name, you know, you got to be keep up in your Bible as well. I didn't send this document out. When I call your name, I'll tell you what, you know, what verses to read. And you're going to be really reading out of Exodus chapter 12 for those of you that will be reading. And then, Sister Clara, I'm going to ask you to also be the official responder for the people at that time so that we don't have everybody trying to respond at the same time and it gets confused. So you will be the official responder for the people as well. Okay, my sister?
Who are you talking to?
To you. Okay. You'll be the official responder. So when I say, you know, the responder for the people, that will be you.
Wow. Thank you for the honor. I appreciate it. Okay.
All right. Okay. Exodus chapter 13, verses 1 through 10. As we get into this this Passover, I'm going to say, you know, I don't even think it's appropriate to say happy Passover. For the simple reason, it's a solemn assembly, and I'm going to need to think of a better greeting for this other than that. Nevertheless, and Yah spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both man and of beast, it is mine. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day, in which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand, Yah brought you out from this place. So no leavened bread be eaten. This day came you out in the month of Abib, the month of Earing. And it shall be when Yah shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he swear unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey. Thou shalt keep this service in this month. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to Yah. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. And thou shalt show thy son in that day. This is done because of that which Yah did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be for a sign upon unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that Yah's law may be in thine mouth. For with a strong hand has Yah brought thee out of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year. And it shall be when Yah shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it to thee, that thou shalt set apart unto Yah all that opens the matrix, and the every firstling that cometh of beast which thou hast, and the males shall be Yah's. And I actually read further than I wanted to, but anyway. All right, so we're to keep this year to year, and it's a perpetual covenant. Even after Messiah came, we are to still keep it. So Passover is the night Elohim delivered his people from the Egyptian bondage and slavery. And this is what Passover really has to deal with, deliverance from bondage, okay, whether from Egypt or if it's the bondage of sin in Messiah. That's how he becomes our Passover lamb. So we're going to look at both of those things on tonight. And from the powers of darkness that rule over the land of Egypt, just as they were delivered from the power of the enemy and from the bondage and slavery, so Yeshua has delivered us from the enemy of our souls and set us free from the bondage and slavery to sin in a new type of Passover. Okay, so we have a Passover in the Old Testament, and then the Last Supper that Messiah had with his disciples, he had they had the Passover meal, and then he performed a ceremony during that supper. Okay, so let's continue. So, Sister Denise, will you read Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 6?
I will. Okay, here I go.
Hello?
And Yah spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of month. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month thou shalt take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. If the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbors next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goat. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening."
All right, amen. Thank you, Mother. So we see in the scriptures here that Yah has told Israel that they, on the 10th day of the month, which was a few days back for us, that they were to go, every man, and get a male lamb or a goat. It had to be a year old, had to be without blemish. And then he says on the 14th day of the month that you would take this lamb, and in the evening everybody would kill this lamb, their lamb together. Sister Mary, verses 7 through 12.
And they should take the blood and strike it on two side posts and on the upper door post of the house, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in the night, roasted with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat none of it raw, none sodden all with water, but roasted with fire, his head with his legs, in the person therein, thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remain of it until the morning, you shall burn it with fire. And thou shalt eat it with thy rod girded, with shoes on their feet, the staff in their hand, and you shall eat it in haste. This is God's Passover.
Verse 12.
"For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both men and beasts, and among all the gods of Egypt, I am Yah."
Right, amen. So the Most High tells them, and let me mute this phone, because I'm getting an echo. Mosai tells them in verses 7 through 12 that they are to take the blood from the lamb that they have slain and put it on the doorpost. Now, this puts every house that does this, it puts that house and the occupants of that house under the blood of this sacrifice. And then he tells them that they were to eat this sacrifice, roast it with fire. They could not boil it, okay? Couldn't fry it, couldn't boil it. It had to be roasted with fire, with his head and his legs, and with the pertinence thereof, the inside. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. That which remaineth of it until the morning, you shall burn with fire. Burn it up in the fire. Don't eat it. Don't leave it. Don't have leftovers. Still eat it with your loins girded. Now, what I want us to understand here, this Passover meal is about getting up and getting out. We getting ready to get out of here. And I want to make sure you got a good meal. I want to make sure I'm going to show the Egyptians a sign, because I let Pharaoh name the punishment that I was going to put on them leaving out. So he threatened my firstborn, so I threatened his firstborn. Let's see who's God. Him. Let's see who's Elohim. Him or me. Okay. Or any of his other Elohims that he worships. So he tells Israel to eat it with your loins girded, with your shoes on your feet, with your staff in your hand, and eat it in haste, in a hurry. Now, I know that, you know, people traditionally sit down and they want to have a meal. And they want to, you know, eat this thing like it's a celebration. But it's not. It's not a celebration. That's why I said it's a solemn assembly. This is a serious thing, and you ought to be considering what the Most High did. Okay. So I'm going to deliver you out of this land. And I want you to have a good meal before you go. But you eat it in a hurry. Don't be taking your time. Don't be sitting down and y'all gossiping and lollygagging and, you know, getting drunk and doing all this stuff. It's about. Okay. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the Elohims of Egypt. Now, if you go back and you look at all the plagues that the Most High did in Egypt, they represented a god that Egypt worshipped. Okay? God of the frog, God of the fly, God of blood. Every one of the plagues that the Most High used to destroy Egypt, it was a god to them. Okay? So he was showing Egypt that I'm the only true and real Elohim that there is. I'm getting ready to take my people out of here, but before I go, Pharaoh, since you think you're a god, think you represent Ra, I'm going to kill your firstborn like you threatened my firstborn. Stop me if you can. Okay, this is what this is really all about. And I will execute judgment. I'm going to pronounce judgment. I'm going to kill the firstborn of man and beast. I am Yah. Sister Lorraine, if you will read verses 13 through verses 13 through 17.
And the blood shall be to you for a token on the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save them which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For for in this selfsame day have I brought you armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day and your generation by an ordinance forever.
Okay, thank you. So this is an ordinance forever, the first day and the seventh day. They are holy convocation. And supposed to put away all unleavened out of your house. Assume leavened bread for the next 7 days. Also, the reason that I started using only grape juice is that wine is actually fermented grapes, which means that in that fermenting process, they add yeast to it. The same yeast that the Most High said, don't put in the bread. Why would you do wine? Okay, so that's another reason that I do grape juice, because then Messiah's blood is not supposed to be leavened, and that's how they make wine, okay, by leavening grape juice. Anyway, that's the reason that we're doing it. But he says that you're to take away leaven, okay, out of your house. Whosoever eateth leaven from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off out of Israel, from Israel. So today is a holy convocation, not a feast like, you know, we're going to go out and barbecue and drink beer and you know, play dominoes and spades and have a good time because it's holiday. No, this is a holy day, a true holy day. Just like the Sabbath, we're not supposed to do those things. A true holy day, the first day and the seventh day of this feast. And we're doing it because, and we're not supposed to do any work in this day. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe this day in your generation for a ordinance, a law, forever. Forever is forever. And Messiah said that he wouldn't, you know, drink the fruit of the vine until it was in the kingdom. But this is going to be observed even in the kingdom when Messiah returns. Okay? So we got to understand that Most High said, I did this work. I don't want you to forget about it. Ever. But I brought your forefathers out of Egypt, out of bondage. And when we get to Messiah in the New Testament, we're going to see the same thing. Okay? The concept and the same thing. Sister Clara, verses Exodus chapter 12, verses 18 through 23, or 224.
Did you say me, Brother Miles?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry. I can't commit to that tonight. I have to take care of my children.
Okay. Then I'll actually do that reading then.
I'll read it.
Okay.
Go ahead. Who was that? Sister Denise?
Yes.
Go ahead.
In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 120th day of the month at evening. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eat that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. You shall eat nothing leavened in all your habitation, shall you eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called from the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your family and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with blood, with the blood that is in the basin, and more of
and none of you
shall go out at the door of his houses until the morning. For Yah will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, Yah will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy son forever.
All right, now I will take it from here. All right, so the Most High tells Israel, first month, 14th day of the month at evening. Now, this is why this is important to understand when this feast is done, because at evening, it is getting dark. Okay? And when it gets dark, how long does it take to cook a whole lamb?
Oh, wow.
That's going to take a few hours. So you're not going to be eating early. And I'm just laying the concept so we can understand why some of the things are in the scriptures the way that they are. So if you had to cook a whole lamb in a house and, you know, everything, the whole lamb, that's going to take 2, 3, 4 hours to cook that whole lamb. You're not cooking a lamb chop. You got to cook the whole thing. And then they got to do it in the evening when it starts to get dark. Then you would want the moon to be what? Full. So that you would get the full, you know, you get the full light in that evening. If you did it during the first of the month or any other time of the month, in the early part of the month, then you're not going to get the fullness of the moonlight. Okay? And so this, all of the feast days are when, what, in the evening?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to do them in the dark. Now, we have light, of course, in modern days, but during that time, they had fire and have electric light. And so they would do it during the full moon, because it would be taking place in the evening. All right, so I'll read verses 25 through the end of this chapter. Now, the Most High is going to go through, and he's going to smite. He's going to kill the firstborn of the Egyptians and even of Israel. If you weren't under the blood, you weren't spared. If you didn't bring your animals in the house, under the blood, even your animals, the firstborn of the animals would die as well. Okay? Verse 25, and it shall come to pass when you come into the land which I will give you according as he has promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you. Now, we're supposed to be explaining to our children, why are we keeping this? Why are we doing this? What mean you by this service? What does the service mean? That you shall say, it is the sacrifice of Yah's Passover, who passed over the house of the children of Israel in Egypt. Now, that Passover is where this holiday or this feast gets this its name, Passover. Because Moses says, whoever is up under the blood, I will see the blood, and I will pass over that house. I won't allow the destroyer to come in there and kill the firstborn. Over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptian and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshiped. And the children of Israel went away and did as Yah had commanded Moses and Aaron. So did they. And it came to pass that at midnight, Yah smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. Now, it's midnight. Do you think anybody's gone to bed? They ain't gone to bed. Because he told them to eat this with their what? Their shoes on, their loins girded. The staff in their hand, y'all be ready to go. It's midnight now, okay? From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon. So if you were a Hebrew or not, but if you were a Hebrew and you were in the dungeon, you were in jail, and you weren't able to get up under the blood, you died if you were the firstborn. Now, if you were the secondborn, you still live. But if you were firstborn in that family and you happen to be in jail, you died. And all the firstborn of cattle, and Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. So this is a great calamity to the Egyptians. But it's also a great calamity if you're a Hebrew and you weren't under the blood. Okay? Yah commanded us to keep this feast by eating unleavened bread for 7 days and to remove all yeast from our dwelling. We read that in verses 15, and then we'll read it again when we read chapter 13. So in compliance with his command, we have searched this place, the house, and removed leaven. Yeast is a symbol of the deception of untruth, and it is corrupt, and its corruptive influence which leads to sin. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, clean out the old leaven of wickedness and malice from your heart. Leavening in these cases, because leavening is used as a reactive agent, something that causes a reaction or change. So yeast causes a reaction in flour and causes it to rise. Yeast also causes grapes to turn to ferment. It's a leavening agent. The scriptures often speak of leavening as, sin. But it is not always sin. You got to look at it in the context of the verse. Because it'll tell you that the kingdom of heaven is like leavening. Okay? It's like leaven. So we will look at it. He says, beware of the leavening of the Pharisees. Talking about their doctrine. That they would influence you. Cause you to believe a lie. Cause you to do something that you weren't supposed to do or have a misunderstanding of the scripture. So we are to keep this night in honor of him who loved us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom of priests unto Elohim and his Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. And let me play a song right now. Roll up to it. Got some new songs on here. Elohim, if there is any leaven that may still be here, which has not been removed, I declare it null and void and step over the blowing of the shofar. People this time, Sister Clara has dropped. Blessed are all the people that know the sound of the shofar. If you repeat after me, Sister Mary. Looks like you're on mute.
Oh, I'm on mute?
Yeah, I just picked you off on mute. So if you repeat after me. Blessed are the people.
Blessed are the people
that know the sound of the shofar.
That knows the sound of the shofar.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We shall walk in the light of your continent.
We shall walk in the light of your continent.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 6, verses 23 through 26. Numbers chapter 6, verses 23 through 26. Speak unto Aaron and unto his saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, Yah bless thee and keep thee. Yah make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yah lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Hallelujah. The significance of the Passover. Yah said in the future, your children will ask you, what does all this mean? Why are you doing this? Then you will tell them, with mighty power, Yah brought us out of Egypt from our slavery. Exodus chapter 13 and verse 14. This meal, this night is the Passover meal. We commemorate the exodus of Egypt. When Yah brought us out of the bondage and provided Yeshua as the Lamb in the New Testament without spot or blemish to atone for our souls and bring us out of the bondage of sin. That is what this is about. Yah passing over us in Egypt and not letting his wrath come upon us by killing the firstborn among us and by for mankind as a whole in Messiah. When we come up under the blood of Messiah, the Most High's wrath will pass over us, and he will not charge our sins to us because we're supposed to be sinless at this point. Go to the book of John, chapter 8. The book of John, chapter 8. we're going to get verse 34. John chapter 8, verse 34. Yeshua answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin." So when we are sinners, we are in bondage to sin. We are the servants of sin. And Messiah died so that we would not serve sin, that we wouldn't be in bondage to it, that he delivered us from that. In the meal also, go over these elements that he told them to eat. The bitter herbs in the meal. We eat bitter herbs to remind us of the bitter slavery our ancestors experienced when they were oppressed by the Egyptian taskmaster. And of our bitterness today as victims of the transatlantic slave trade and our bitterness of slavery and bondage to sin before Yeshua came into our life. So we, in our scattering, our slavery was bitter for us as a people as well. And we, when we keep the Passover, we should remember that also, but also under Messiah, because he delivered us from the bondage of sin, that we are, our sin for us was bitterness. Sin never, you know, some, all sin don't feel bad. Yet and again, all sin brings us death. And so when we understand it, then we should have a bitter attitude about the sins that we committed. The unleavened bread. The unleavened bread reminds us of our forefathers, that they left Egypt in a hurry. That's when we read that verse. It says, "You shall eat it in haste, in a hurry, and did not have time to let the bread rise." I said, "Y'all ain't going to be here long enough for that to sit there, you know, 3-4 hours and rise." And that unleavened represents the removal of sin from our lives. So this is what leavening in these scriptures means, that, you know, you're not, you're going to be leaving in haste, and that you're going to remove leavening sin from your life. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 16. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 16. And let's get verse 3. "Thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction. For thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt, all the days of thy life." So the Most High wanted our forefathers to remember, "I brought you out swiftly. When I came and sent Moses in there and Pharaoh, I hardened Pharaoh's heart that he wouldn't let you go. So that by the time that I got through with Pharaoh, you were going to be able to, you know, you were going to be able to rob him, or you're going to be able to take his riches. They were going to give them to you. His people are going to volunteer." And that you were going to, he uses another word, but you're going to leave out of here with great wealth, okay, that you're going to leave in a hurry. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. "Purge out, therefore, the old leaven," purge it out, "that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Mashiach, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. For let us keep the feast, not with old leaven," supposed to put all that stuff away, "neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness." Now see, malice and wickedness, these are leavening agents. Just like love is a leavening agent, hate is a leavening agent. They cause people to change, to react. So not all the time is leavening sin. But when the scriptures are talking about it, and hey, put away these evil ways when you are coming before me, and let us keep the feast with unleavened, the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Because when we get rid of the leavening in our house, we are putting away sin. We are using the unleavening of the unleavened bread of what? Sincerity and truth. And we might have a sincere heart before the Most High. And we might worship him in spirit and in truth. The blood of the lamb that was put on the doorpost was a token. It was a sign of a token that caused the spirit of Yah to pass over the children of Israel and to be saved from Yah's wrath. Put that blood on the lintel foot, on the side post and on the top of the doorpost. See that blood? I will pass over you. I'm not going to come in to destroy you. Likewise, let's go to Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, we read that Messiah, that the Most High delivered us through Messiah the same way. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. And to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Yeshua, which he delivered us from the wrath to come. That's the same thing he did with the blood on the post in Passover. He delivered them from the wrath to come that night. With us, it's the wrath in the future because he says, I've appointed a day when I'm going to take out my wrath on all mankind, all those that are disobedient. In Messiah, we are supposed to be, when we come into him, if we stay in him and we don't go outside of him, then we are removed from the wrath to come. Okay, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're going to get verse 9. For Elohim has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Master Yeshua HaMashiach. So we are to obtain salvation by coming into his, under his blood. The Most High has not appointed us to wrath. We have to come from under the blood. We have to willfully sin because that brings us from under the blood. Okay? So on this night, we celebrate these works that the Most High did that he might save Israel out of bondage, that he might save the world out of the bondage of sin through Messiah. Go to Isaiah chapter 53, the book of Isaiah chapter 53. And it's 12 verses, so Sister Mary, if you will read verses 1, and then Sister Lorraine, verses 7 through 12.
Isaiah 53, right?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry.
Isaiah 53, Sister Lorraine, you'll be reading verses 7 through 12. First, Sister Mary's going to read verses 1 through 6.
Okay.
All right.
Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of Yah revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form, no commonness. And when we see him, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we shall desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as we were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him and stricken him, smitten of Yah and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression, thank you, Father. He was bruised for our iniquity and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep has gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And Yah has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Amen. Verse 7 through 12, Sister Lorraine.
He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shown. So he opened up not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and he shall declare his generation. For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither way any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors.
Right, may the Most High add a blessing to the reading here and the understanding of his word. So we hear this is the prophecy of Messiah and what he would do. That he would be bruised for our transgressions. He would die. His soul would be poured out for many, not for everybody, but for how many? Many. Okay. So everybody's not going to come into the salvation, but the Most High makes it available. Go to the book of Mark, chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, and we're going to start in verse 12. Hold on. Let me make sure that's what I want to do. Yeah. Mark chapter 14, starting in verse 12. And Sister Denise, if you will read verse 12 through 18.
And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, where wilt thou we go and prepare that may eat the Passover? And he sent forth two of his disciples and said unto them, go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And whosoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house. The master said, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared there, make ready for us. And his disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And in the evening he cometh with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, Yeshua said, verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful and to say unto him one by one, is it I? And another said, is it I?
Go ahead and read and verse 21.
Okay. And he answered and said unto them, it is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him, but whom to that man
but
by
woe,
whom
but woe
woe but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good was it for that man if he had never been born.
All right, amen. All right, thank you, my son. So we have the first day of unleavened bread, and we know that that's the 14th of the month, and they are coming to the people are going to kill the Passover lamb in the evening, and they're asking Messiah, where do you want to keep the Passover? He don't say go to 5656 West East Lamb Street. He said, hey, go find this man walking around with a pitcher of water and follow him. And when he gets to wherever he's going, go in and ask the person in the house and tell them, the master said, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room. So Messiah already has either had this thing set up or it is being set up, you know, as they are coming. But he said, hey, go find a man walking around with a pitcher of water. That, you know, that kind of amazes me because the man could be walking anywhere. But when you see this man walking with a pitcher of water, follow him. Who's up? Sir Mary. I think it would be your turn next.
Yes.
Okay, pick it up where she left off.
And as they did eat, Yeshua took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and said, hey, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and when he had gave thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is said for men. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of this fruit of vine until that day that I drink it anew in the kingdom of Yah. And when they had sang at him, and they went out into the Mount of Olives, and Yeshua said unto them, all you shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that, I am risen, and I will go before you in Galilee. So Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will I not. And Yeshua said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night, even in this night, before the cock crows twice, thou shalt deny me three times. Let me keep reading.
Read through 32.
Okay. But he spake the more. Say that word.
Vehemently.
Vehemently. If I should die with thee, and I will not deny thee in any wise, likewise also said they all. And they came to the place which was called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I still pray.
Right, amen. Thank you, my sister.
Welcome.
So we read in these verses that Messiah, they have sat down to dinner to have the Passover. And after this meal, he takes the cup. And he takes the bread and he breaks it. And he gave it to them. He said, take, this is my body. Now, in other books, when you read this, when he had about 120 people following him, even more at the time. And he told them that they were going to have to do this ritual. You're going to have to eat drink my blood and eat my body. And they left. They're like, we ain't trying to hear that. You know, we ain't cannibals. We don't do that. Okay. So here are the 12 that remained, and they are in this Passover meal. And he tells them, all right, here's some bread. Take it. Eat. This is my body. In verse 23, and he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until the day that I drink it new in the kingdom of Elohim. Now, everywhere that we read this, you're just going to—it's never going to say that he was drinking wine. That is something that people have inserted in there because it doesn't say it. He never says he was drinking wine, and the scriptures don't say it ever. You know, I think in one place it inserts that. Okay, I think in Luke. So he says, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Yeshua said unto them, all you shall be offended. Y'all going to all be, you're not going to be feeling normal. You're going to be offended on my cause because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd. And the sheep shall be scattered. Now listen to the response. Listen to Peter first. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, not me, yet well, not I. I ain't going to be offended ever in you. And Yeshua said, verily, verily, verily I say unto thee that this day, even in this night, before the cock crows twice, you shall deny me thrice, three times. Now, Peter's like, oh, I ain't going to do that. Messiah said, oh, yeah, you are. You're going to do it three times before this night is over. But he spake the more vehemently. He got, you know, Peter got, hey, no, I would never do that. I'd never betray you. He spake more vehemently. If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all, we will never deny you. And they came to the place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. Sister Lorraine, if you'll pick up in verse 33.
All right, one moment, 33, and he taketh with him Peter and James and John and began to be some amazed and to be very heavy. And said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Findeth them sleeping, and said unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time and said unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. And immediately while he yet spake, cameth Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, take him and lead him away safely.
Okay, you can stop there.
And it's just, okay.
All right, so Messiah is telling them, hey, you're going to betray me tonight. You're going to be offended, and you're going to run away because I'm going to be stricken, and y'all going to run. No, we ain't going to run. We're going to stay with you. Okay, so he asked them, you know, think about, put yourself in Messiah's place. You know what is about to happen. You know that they're about to arrest, they're going to beat you. They are going to, you know, put a crown of thorns on your head. You know everything that's coming. And you ask, you know, you bow down. You say, hey, come, y'all, you two, come with me. I want y'all to watch over me while I pray. And so they sit down. He walks a couple of steps forward, and he falls down, and he starts praying. He gets back up and turn around. They sleep. Like, I told you guys I was coming here to die, and you couldn't watch an hour with me? Couldn't watch an hour over me while I prayed? So they said, you know, we don't know what to say. We're tired. So he said, he goes away and he prays the exact same prayer again. You know, if it's possible, let this hour pass from me. You know, find another way. But not my will, your will be done. Come back, they sleep again. You know, I can imagine, wow. Y'all can't stay awake. So he goes and he prays again. And when he comes back, he says, all right. You know, it's enough. The time has run out, and the will of the Father is that this happens, and they are here. Okay. They're here, and they're coming to get me. So Judas goes ahead and says, you know, the one that you see, the one that I kiss on the cheek, he's the one that y'all need to arrest. Okay, so verse 44, and he that betrayed him had given him a token, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. Verse 45, and as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and said, Master, Master, and he kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. Now, we know that was Peter that did that. And Yeshua answered and said unto them, are you come out as against a thief? Y'all coming out here armed like I'm a dangerous man, and like we've been dangerous and we're armed with swords and with staffs to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you took me not, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. And he took all, and they all forsook him and fled. Now, he just told them that's what they're going to do. No, no, we ain't going to do that. And then they run. And there followed him a certain young man having a lion cloth cast about his naked body. And the young man laid hold on him. And he lifted the lion cloth, the linen cloth, and fled from them naked. And they led Yeshua away to the high priest, and with them were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. So these are the leaders. Messiah is taken to the leaders on this night, and they are all going to question him. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself by the fire. Now, he followed him. He's looking at Messiah. But he ain't claiming to know him. And the chief priests and all the council sought for the witness against him, put him to death, and found none. Are there any witnesses that have come forth and testify that this man is blaspheming, that this man has sinned, that he's done wickedness? And there was nobody that testified. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. So you know, it's how you go and you get somebody, hey, y'all going to come and testify against this man. And y'all just make up some stuff. And they ain't collaborated. They haven't gotten their stuff together. They're all telling different stories. And so it don't agree together. And there arose certain and bare false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that it is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But neither so did their witness agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Yeshua, saying, answerest thou nothing? You're not going to say nothing? We read in Isaiah that he wasn't going to open his mouth. He didn't open his mouth. Was it with these witnesses? Answers out nothing. What is it with these witnesses against thee? But he held his peace and answered nothing. And again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Yeshua said, I am. Now, he answered them. This is what they've been wanting to know. When it was John out in the wilderness, hey, John, who are you? Are you that prophet? Are you the Messiah? Are you Elijah? They asked Messiah, tell us plainly, are you the Christ? He said, I've already told you. Now here we see him telling them, I am Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming to the clouds of heaven, coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent or tore his clothes and said, what need we any further witness? You have heard the blasphemy. What think ye? And you shall all condemn him to be guilty of death. And some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to buffet him and to say unto him, prophesy. And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. Now, this is happening on this night in his time. You know, usually when you go to the church, because the church doesn't really come together for Passover, they come together for, the Feast of the First Fruits, what they call Easter. And they try to, you know, do a rendition on this story. But this, you know, we are experiencing it in this at the time that Messiah, on the day that he would be experiencing it. It's nighttime. He has finished the Passover meal. Him and his disciples are out at the Garden of Gethsemane. He is in anguish and turmoil because he knows what's coming. He wants them to pray with him. And, you know, they can't even keep their eyes open. Now he's been arrested. He's taken to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They question him and they ask him plainly, are you the Son of the Blessed? I am. Then they tear their clothes. Now they've been asking him to tell them who he is. He's been saying, hey, I've been telling you all along, if you don't believe me, believe the work. But now he's telling them straight up, I am the Son of the Most High. I am the Most High. They understood what he was saying. I am the Most High. Okay? So they rent their clothes. That you have heard the blasphemy. Verse 64. What think you? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And some began to spit on him and to cover his face, to buffet him and to say unto him, prophesy. And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. As Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of his maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also was with Yeshua of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not. Neither understand I what you say. I don't know what you're talking about. Saying, I don't understand nothing you saying. And he went out to the porch and the cock crew. So he, you know, was vehemently, adamantly saying, I would never deny you. Messiah said, you're going to do it 3 times before the cock crows. And then here it is, Peter has done it. And the maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean. And thy speech agrees thereto. You look like a Galilean, you sound like a Galilean. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man whom you speak. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word of Yeshua, said unto him, before the cock crowed, shall deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. So we see that on this night, Messiah has been betrayed. He's been denied. He's been beat. He's been whipped. And it ain't over with yet. Now, we're going to go ahead because it's into the hour. And at this point, we are going to break, and everybody should have their Passover meal with them. Okay? And so I want you to go ahead and get your Passover meal. And we're going to eat the Passover, and then we're going to come into the New Testament. And we're going to go through this, what the Passover of Messiah means, after we have eaten. Because once we don't want to take we don't want to take communion and nobody has eaten. That's one of the things that we are directed not to do. Okay. So if you have your Passover meal, if you will go get it. And let me play a song. Okay, and if you have noise in the background, if you will mute yourself. I'm going to put on a song. I'm going to go get my Passover meal. We'll come back and we'll pray over it, and then we will eat the Passover.
Favor in your sight, Lord.
Back with the meals now. Amen.
Yes.
All right. So let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. Father, we ask that you would bless this meal, which represents your delivering your people out of Egypt, our forefathers, and that you delivered us on eagle's wings. You said that we were to eat this meal with unleavened bread and that we were to eat it with bitter herbs. And Father, so I pray that we have our unleavened bread, that we have our meat, and that we are eating this with bitter herbs as you have directed. In your Shohamashiach precious name I pray. Amen and amen. So let us eat the Passover. And remember, we're not supposed to be, take a long time to do this. I don't want nobody choking or anything like that. But, let's go ahead and eat. And let's see, it is 6:36. So let's just say we'll go to the top of the hour. So be 9:36, 10:36. Top of the hour, whatever that is, next hour for each. And I will play a song and stuff as we eat.
Yeah. keeping us safe, carrying us for another opportunity to bring you this offering, God. This offering is only powerful if you receive it. So we're going to check our hands and hearts right now. Just make sure that they're clean. Make sure that they're pure. And we thank you, God, that we don't achieve pure hands and clean hearts by our own righteousness, but by the work that you have done, the finished work. So our eyes are on that. Our focus is on that. We are performing for you. We're not trying to move anybody else's heart tonight. And I thank you, even as we said last night, I'm already yours, so I don't even have to perform in that sense. But there is something like a little kid going, Dad, look what I could do, that is just so necessary right now. And so take all restrictions off of us, all second guessing off of us, and just here's this offering, light the fire to it and let it reach you in a sweet and smelling way, all right? We thank you for it, God, in Jesus' name. You're so good, Lord. You're so good to us. Thank you, God, for your favor upon us, for your life in us. Just take a moment. Come on, fill this room and just tell him thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, open your mouth right now just for a moment. Come on. Come on, lift up your voice, lift up your voice, lift up your voice, lift up your voice, yeah. Oh, be exalted, God, be exalted, God, yeah, yeah. Worthy, 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 worthy. just let everything loose. Lift up your hands as high as they can go. Come on. Take them up. Take them up. Take them up. This is a sign of surrender, God. Whatever you're trying to do, whatever you want to accomplish tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God in the highest.
I'm not holding anything back. I'm not holding anything back.
clapping. Let's go. Keep that worship alive. Prepare us. I feel like the oil is primed. It's just flowing now. A lot of us don't have sanctuaries to go to, so we just opened this home and dedicated it as a sanctuary for you. But you're not moved, honestly, by buildings and edifices. You're moved by the space we make within the tabernacle of our bodies and our souls and our spirit. So up residence right here. God, I pray that it's a comfortable place for you to rest. Oh, Jesus. Come and rest. Seat yourself on this praise, on this worship, on this sacrifice, on this surrender, on this offering, God. God, in this worship. In Jesus' name. Oh, Jesus. We've certainly been tried. We've certainly been tried, so let us come out the other side of this truth. And I thank you, we're not reliant upon our truth, we're reliant upon your truth. We're not reliant upon our sacrifice or what we've done or what we are striving to do, but what you have done effortlessly by giving your son, which I know is the greatest sacrifice. You gave it for free. Gave everything. And this is just our return. This moment is just our return back to you. And I thank you, God, that we don't have to summon you here. We don't have to beg and cry and hope that you might show up perhaps. You're not the guest. You're the host. This is your house. So the fact that you've invited us to your table, you've invited us to your living room, and as we sing and as we worship, you just sit in that worship. Miracles are going to happen. Comments already just from the rehearsals, people saying, I believe in Jesus again. I believe in God again. And that can only happen in your presence, God. So thank you for inviting us into your home, Lord. Your presence is where we want to be. The only place we want to be, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.
All right. Amen. 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 How's everybody doing?
We're doing fine. Yeah.
Everybody finished eating?
Yeah.
Right, amen. I don't know. Some of y'all might have had a real big feast.
Yeah.
So we're going to go ahead and proceed with this. We got a little bit of ways to go in remembrance of this. And so we're going to start in the book of Mark, chapter 15. The book of Mark, chapter 15. And Sister Denise, you will start us off in verse 1.
And straightway in the morning, the chief priest held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole congregation, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he answered and said unto him, "Thou said it." And the chief priest accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, Answer thou nothing? Behold, how many things thou witness against thee. But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Them one prisoner, whosoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, whom laid down with them that had made insurrections with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude cried aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done to them. But Pilate answered them, saying, will you that I release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priest had delivered him for envy. But the chief priest moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, what will you then that I should do unto him whom you call the king of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, why? What evil has he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him.
Okay, my sister, you can stop there. Thank you. And Sister Mary, if you will pick it up in verse 15.
And so Pilate willingly to consent to the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Yeshua when he had scorned him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into the hill.
Into the hall.
Pardon me?
Into the hall.
Oh, into the hall. What did I say? The hill. I'm sorry. Called Patroclus. And they cried unto the whole band. And they clothed him with a purple and plaited a crown of thorns and placed it on his head. And he began to salute him, Hail, King of the Jews. And they thorned him on the head with the grief and did sit upon him, and bowed their knees, worshiping him. And when they had marked him, they took off the purple and from him, and put his own clothes on him, and led him out to be crucified. And they compelled one Simon, a centurion, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him into the place Golgotha, where is being interpreted the place of the skull. And they gave him a drink of wine, mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garment, cast lots upon them, where every man should take. And it was on the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription
Okay. Let's see, what verse are you in?
32.
Okay. Sister Lorraine, if you'll pick it up in 33. Finish 32, and then Sister Lorraine pick it up in 33.
Let Christ, the King of the Israel, be sent off of the cross that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him.
Reviled him?
Reviled him.
Amen. All right, Sister Lorraine, if you will pick it up in verse 33.
And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, Behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him a drink, saying, Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion was stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, Truly this man was the Son of God. There were also women looking on far off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James, the less of Joseph, and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead, and calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen, and laid him in a sepulchre which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulchre. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph, behold, where he was laid.
Amen. All right, thank you, my sister, for your reading and your participation in that. We have Messiah being taken before Pilate in this chapter. And Pilate is questioning him, and as the scripture says, as a lamb led to the slaughter, he opened not his mouth. So all these accusations that our forefathers were making against him, he never opened his mouth to say, you know, anything to defend himself. And Pilate he's marveling. He's, you know, amazed. Hey, they sent all kind of stuff against you, and you won't defend yourself? And then, so they had a custom where the Roman proctor, whoever was in charge that year, would let one of our brothers go free. He would let one of them go free. And so he asked them, do you want Barabbas or do you want Yeshua to go free? And they cried, you know, for Barabbas. And they cried. So this is part of the sacrificial system in play here. There's a spiritual act going on here because Barabbas is the scapegoat and Messiah is the sacrificial lamb. And so when you look at the Day of Atonement, when the priest goes to make atonement for Israel on the Day of Atonement, then you will see that this same system is being played out with Messiah and Barabbas. The high priest offers up Messiah for sacrifice. Pilate is asking the people, you know, who do you want, Barabbas or Messiah? The people cry, let Barabbas go and crucify Messiah. So we have the high priest offering up Messiah. We have the Messiah being the sacrificial lamb and Barabbas being the scapegoat. Once that is done and he's crucified, then he's up on the cross and they are mocking him. Others, he saved yourself. And Messiah goes ahead, without going into a whole lot of detail, he goes ahead and he gives up the ghost. Okay, and he dies on the cross for our sins. And, you know, this is nothing that we should be excited about as far as, you know, in celebration, because it's a sad event that, you know, Messiah even said, the man that turned him over, that betrayed him, it should be as though he was never born. It would have been better for him if he was never born. We're supposed to remember this event, everything that has happened here, everything he went through. When we are commemorating him, when we are taking communion, we're supposed to remember everything that he went through and how he died. Because it was not a good thing. It was a very horrendous and horrific death. You know, I want you to imagine somebody take some thorns and you know, twist them into a crown and place them on your head. Now, they can't hit that crown with their hand because those thorns will stick them. So they get a stick and start beating this crown into his head. And then they spit on him and hit him with, you know, their hands. And then they bow down and mockingly worship him. He is in anguish because think about who he really is. To have to go through this, to have to be belittled this way, to remember this, what he went through. Okay, so now he's been beaten so bad and tormented so bad, in verse 21. In verse 21, and they compel one Simon of Cyrene, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. They used to make the condemned bear their own cross, carry their own cross, but he's too weak at this point. He's been up all night. They have been interrogating him. They've been beating him. They take him to Pilate. Pilate interrogates him and beats him. Commands that he gets scourged, you know, with the whip. And he's weak. And he's still got some more left to go through. So they go and they crucify him. And they put a plaque above his head. King of the Jews. And with them was crucified two thieves, as it was prophesied that, you know, he would be crucified alongside the unrighteous. And he was numbered with the transgressors. And they passed by, railed on him. Everybody passed him by, you know, like looked at him hard, like, you deserve that. They railed on him, wagging their heads, and saying, ah, thou that destroyest the temple and builds it in 3 days. Now, we know that this was an accusation that was made by him, and he did say that, but they didn't understand he was talking about his body, his own temple. So they mock him and say, save thyself. Come down from there. You able to save other men you can save? Save yourself. So other men he saved. Himself, he cannot save. Then, you know, I just want us to be of the frame of mind and really get this is King of the universe. This is the Most High in flesh. Because we're going to know him as the Son of Elohim, but it's the Most High himself in flesh. Having and allowing his creation to do this to him, that he might make a way for us to come back to him. So in the ninth hour, he cries out with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my Elohim, why hast thou forsaken me? And everybody thought he was crying out for Elias. And then he gave up the ghost. He died. Now, seeing they were crucifying him for falsehood, and they had to mock and riddle him when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. I mean, I know there's not too many of us like pain, but the Most High said, let's go back to Isaiah real quick, Isaiah 53. And Sister Lorraine, if you will mute your mic. Isaiah 53. Verse 10. Isaiah 53 and verse 10. Yet it pleased God to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of Yah shall prosper. But it pleased Yah, because everything Messiah went through for us, the Most High wanted to do to us. Said, this is what you deserve. This is what my wrath looks like. So it pleased him to take out his wrath on that body. But think about it. This is what he wanted to do to us. Let's go back to the book of Mark, chapter 15. So in the end here, we have Joseph of Arimathea coming to get Messiah. To bury his body. And so he lays him in a sepulcher. And now the scripture says that he was going to be laid in rest with the wicked. And so Isaiah 53 and 9, and he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich, his death. Joseph of Arimathea is a rich man. This is his own tomb. So we see the fulfillment of scripture here. So the First Corinthians, and let's prepare to take communion. So if you will get your grape juice and your unleavened bread, everyone should have already eaten, full of wine. This is a solemn day. You know, if we see somebody get shot down in the street, you know, we having earthquakes in diverse places. Yah forbid we see somebody get beat with police sticks and then something put on their head and that get beat in, and then they get, they come with some chains and they beat them. We will be indignant. Here it is, our Messiah. And they have done all these things, whipped him with a whip that has bone and metal fragments in it, has ripped his skin wide open. He is a hot mess out there. They beat him so bad. Let me say, see if that, I think that's in the same chapter. Hold on. Yes, in this one, let me find it. Show you how bad they beat him. Let me put my glass. Should be in this one. I might have to search and find. I thought it was in this same chapter. Hold on a second. Yeah, let's go to Isaiah 52. We're going to get verse 14. Isaiah 52 and verse 14. And when you have it, you say amen.
Amen.
Right, Isaiah 52 and verse 14. This is how bad they beat him. As many as were astonished as he, his visual, his appearance was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So they beat him so bad, really, that his mother couldn't recognize him. His own mother couldn't recognize him. He was beaten worse than any other man. So we got to imagine that and understand that he went through what he went through for us. And we have to appreciate that because this is what we're supposed to be remembering on this day. And any time that we take communion, we're supposed to remember this. That's why it's never supposed to be a joyous, you know, I don't think we would want people laughing and joking and playing around and celebrating if we died a horrible death. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 17, and I will read in your hearing. Now is this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Because, you know, we're commanded to be of one mind, one heart. And so we got the church, the body, and he's saying, hey, I hear that there are divisions among you. Y'all divided. And I partly believe it. Because y'all, each one of y'all trying to do your own thing. But there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper or Messiah's Supper. For it is eat, or in eating, everyone takes before his other his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunken. We ain't supposed to be being that way. What, have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise you the church of Elohim, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of Yah that which also I delivered unto you, that Yeshua HaMashiach, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show Yeshua's death till he comes. This is what we remember. We remember his death. It was horrific. It was, you know, it was horrifying. Wherefore, who this bread and drink this cup of Yeshua unworthily shall be guilty of the blood, of the body and the blood of Yeshua. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning Yeshua's body, not respecting, not understanding the magnitude of the event. For this cause many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So if we examine ourselves, and judge ourselves, and then don't take part in something that we have been disrespectful toward. Because then you won't be judged, because you're not going to do what, you know, the person that won't judge themselves, won't take credit for what they have done in relationship to Messiah by disrespecting his death. But when we are judged, we are chastised by Yah, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home. Yet, and that you together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. So let us prepare for the communion, the celebration of the Last Supper, the celebration of our Passover lamb, Messiah. Let us do this in remembrance of his death. This is a solemn event. You know, we shouldn't be, you know, hee-hee-heeing and laughing and joking or doing anything in disrespect. Okay? Get 1 Corinthians again, verses 11. I mean, 1 Corinthians 11, verses 26 through 30. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do so Yeshua's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of Yeshua unworthy shall be guilty of the body and the blood of Yeshua. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning Yeshua's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. He has, in these last days, spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. That was Hebrews chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering, for both he that sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 to 11. So let us now take the bread. And if you have your unleavened bread, take it and put it in your left hand. Put your right hand over it. Father Yah, accept this bread which we sanctify before you as the body of Messiah that was broken for us oh so many years ago, that we might be able to come back to you, that you would take out the punishment that you would put upon us on him. And we thank Messiah for being obedient, even unto death. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. You may now eat the bread. Now let's give the Most High a hand clap of thanksgiving for the body of Messiah. Amen. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Glory, 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 glory. Glory to you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Messiah, for being obedient. Thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for taking the punishment that we deserve. Hallelujah. We just thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. And Sister Mary, if you will answer for the people. Blessed are you.
Blessed are you.
Yah our Elohim.
Yah our Elohim.
King of the universe.
King of the universe.
Who sanctifies us.
Who sanctifies us.
By the body of Messiah.
By the body of Messiah.
Amen. Let's give the Most High another hand clap of praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Take your grape juice now and go ahead and put in the cup as much as you're going to consume. And let us bless this cup that represents the blood of Messiah. Yah is the incomprehensible one. Before the beginning of the creative process, he was and ever shall be our Heavenly Father, the great creator, chose to emerge from the dwelling in the unapproachable light of eternity and reveal himself through his creation, his manifestation of light into the world. For it is Elohim who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, who has shown into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of Elohim in the face of Yeshua, the Messiah. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of Elohim and not of us. That was 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Yeshua said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. John chapter 15 and verse 5. Take the cup in your left hand, place your right hand over it. Father Yah, we ask that you would sanctify this cup and is filled with this grape juice, Father, that it would represent the blood of Messiah in the New Testament that he's named. Amen and amen. You may now drink the cup. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you for the blood, Father. Thank you for making a way where there was no way. Thank you for this Passover, Father. Hallelujah. And you've made a way for Israel, and you've made a way for the world, Father, that we might pass into your kingdom and pass away from your wrath. Hallelujah. So we thank you on today. We thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. For you are worthy of it, Father. You and you alone. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. And Sister Lorraine, if you will repeat for the people. Wait for you to bring up your mic. So Lorraine.
I'm sorry. What did you say?
Let me have you repeat for the people. Respond for the people. Blessed are you, Yah.
Blessed are you, Yah.
For sanctifying us, your people.
That sanctifies us for people.
For the blood of Yeshua. Or by the blood of Yeshua.
Sorry, by the blood of
Yeshua. Or Jesus.
Yeshua?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Amen. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Let us praise and let us worship him. And where did you go? Okay, this is what I want.
Come on, put your hands up.
All right, amen. Holy hands to the Most High. We thank you and praise you for redemption which you have provided in Yeshua, our Messiah, and for all the mighty acts that you have performed on our behalf and the victories which you have given us in our lives, both at this time and in previous times. You are a mighty Elohim and a Savior, and all who live shall thank you and praise your name in truth. Blessed are you, O Yah, Elohim of our salvation and our succor. You are good and worthy to be praised. We give thanks unto you for all your great benefits to us. Let us give Yah the praise of our lips and thank him for the work that he has done in Yeshua. Amen. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
We just praise you, Father, and we worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We bow down before you, and we thank you for all that you have done, Father. We thank you for salvation and redemption. For truly, we are unworthy, Father. We were not worthy of it, but you did it for us anyway, Father, and we can do nothing but thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah Elohim.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah Elohim.
Hallelujah.
Go to 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, in verse 20. 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, and verse 20. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify Elohim in your body and in your spirit, which are Elohim. 1 Samuel, chapter 12, verse 24. 1 Samuel, chapter 12, verse 24. Only fear Yah and serve him in truth and with all your heart, for consider how great things he has done for you. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, and verse 12. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, and verse 12. That you would walk worthy of Elohim, who has called you unto his kingdom and glory. 1 Corinthians, chapter 6. And verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of Elohim, and you are not your own? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 2. That he may no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh, to the lust of men, but to the will of Elohim. Proverbs 3 and verse 9. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. Honor Yah with thy substance and with thy first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. And Sister Denise, I believe you're up this time. You shall respond for the people. Let me see if you can turn your mic back on without leaving the room. Amen. All right, let me turn your mic up because you're low. All right, you'll repeat for the people. We express our gratitude to you. I think you just muted. Turn your mic up. Your mic is turned up now. So all you got to do is speak.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay.
We express our gratitude to you.
We express our gratitude to you.
Creator of the universe.
Creator of the universe.
For the renewing of our life.
For the renewing of our life.
Provided by our King and Savior.
Provided by our King and Savior.
Yeshua HaMashiach.
Yeshua HaMashiach.
And you'll continue to repeat. O Yah, our Elohim.
O Yah, our Elohim.
We call upon you this day.
We call upon you this day
to hear our praise.
To hear our praise.
And thanksgiving.
and thanksgiving.
For your gift of salvation.
For your gift of salvation.
And for the redemption of our lives.
And for the redemption of our lives.
For your glory.
For your glory.
And mercy endures from everlasting.
And mercy endures for everlasting.
To everlasting.
To everlasting.
For Yeshua, our Redeemer.
For Yeshua, our Redeemer.
And our Savior.
And our Savior.
And our King.
And our King.
Intercedes for us today.
Intercedes for us today.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
And forever.
And forever.
Thank you for our salvation.
Thank you for our salvation.
And the salvation of all mankind.
And salvation of all mankind.
For your holy name's sake.
For your holy name's sake.
We bow down to you.
We bow down to you.
And seek your compassion.
And seek your compassion.
And your mercy.
And your mercy.
Yah, our rock.
Yah, our rock.
And our Redeemer.
And our Redeemer.
Hear our prayer of thanksgiving.
Hear our prayer of thanksgiving.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
Let us conclude this Passover, the book of Numbers, chapter 6. The book of Numbers, chapter 6. Verses 24 through 27. Yah bless thee and keep thee. Yah make his face to shine upon thee and be glorious unto thee. Yah lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. He who exists will present you gifts and will guard you with a head of protection. He who exists will illuminate you with the wholeness of his being, bringing order, shalom, and he will beautify you. He who exists will lift up the wholeness of his being and look upon you to set in place all you need to be whole and complete. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Until we meet again, remember, happy Passover, saints. Shalom.
Shalom.
Without you, there's no me. pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you. Without you, there's no need. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always there, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect.
Shalom, my family. Peace and blessings. Love you all. Happy Passover.
Thanks.
Even though I don't know if that's the right word, but you know what I mean.